being faithful to God, faithful to His house. Today, in this message thought, what I'm hoping to do and what I'm going to seek to do is to aim right for your heart, right to the depth of your very soul. When you look what's happening about us and around us, sometimes we think, well, you know, God, we need you to really talk to us. And sometimes we got to get in line, that straight line. Why? Because He's going to come back for a church that's looking and longing for His return. He's going to come back for those that are ready, like the five wise and the five foolish. I don't want my oil and my lamp, my Holy Ghost, to go out. I don't want that to become empty within my soul. I want to be full. I want to be like a river. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want that Holy Ghost to be quickened and alive in me and powerful. And there's only one way to do that is to be right in tune with God. The world right now, they look around, they're listening to all what's going on with this pandemic and all this issues and troubles, and they're doing lockdowns and restrictive things. Well, and the church doesn't sit there and just shake behind her door and peek out the curtain, but we say, you know what, I stand on God and my faith in God and my trust in my Savior, and I will not be moved. I stand on that rock, that foundation called Christ. Book of Matthew, chapter 19. We're going to begin our reading this afternoon at verse number 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. Says, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The book of 1 John, the epistle of John, chapter 2. I just feel the Holy Ghost vibrating on the inside, I tell you what. 1 John chapter 2, just a couple of verses of Scripture, verse 15 and verse 16. Here the writer writes, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. I thank you for what I'm feeling right now, for the presence of the Holy Ghost in every heart. Help us to open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Allow your anointing to flow. Allow that Holy Ghost to touch every heart in this house today. I praise you and I thank you, God, for all that you have done. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon I want to preach to you a message titled, What Are You Hanging on to? What are you hanging on to? In reading the account of the young man in the book of Matthew chapter 19, it's quite clear that as he approached Jesus, that it was he who came presupposing that he had done and that he had been doing everything that was necessary for him to one day to be with Jesus forever in heaven. I've been a good boy. I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. And so I'm going to go up to Jesus and I'm just going to throw it out there and just let him tell me and give me that confirmation. I want you to know this afternoon that in concerns to many today in the 21st century, who in their lives also are they who make the decision to live their lives for God, it is they who come into the church and who begin to do and who have done any number of things in the realm of them making themselves ready. Ready for that day that Jesus Christ returns for his church. Who, if the truth were told, the fact remains in that they are not. They're not ready to meet Jesus Christ at his coming. For likened to the young man in our scriptural text, it's I who believes that in and with all that they and you, others have done, they have been doing, it will be they, as it is you, who expect to have done all that's necessary for you to one day to cross on over to those pearly gates, through those pearly gates to the other side, to be eternally with Jesus Christ. And we think, well, I've done it all. I've been a good boy. I've been a good girl. You know, I've read my Bible, and I attend church and do what God wants me to do. You know, well, you know, I quit my drinking, and I quit smoking, and I brought under control all the things that Jesus would, you know, have for me to get under control. And now all I have left in my life to do is just wait out the time until the day when Jesus calls me home. But I don't think it's going to just be that easy. You say, well, you know, that sounds good. You know, it sounds logical, but upon a closer examination of maybe of your life, there's found something that you in your life that you, my friend, have chosen to hang on to. I'm not going to let this go. I refuse to let it go. Having said this, it's on this day and it's at this moment in time in this service that I come to you as it is I, as a man of God, and for many your pastor, who desires to bring into the forefront of your mind the possible fact, or maybe the likelihood with some, and maybe even all of us, in concerns of all of us today, that it is we, as it may be you, who in your secret heart, outside of what others that are around you might see or might even perceive, could it be you who on this very day, my friend, is holding on to something. Holding on to something in your life that in the end will be what costs you for all eternity your very chance to spend your eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Could it be that in my life what I'm doing or what I have done or what I possess, what I've been keeping, holding tight to, not letting go of, could it be that which might cost me one day? Could it be that which is going to stop me from crossing that great divide and having Jesus Christ welcome me into the fold, and welcome me into heaven? And I look around and see those walls of pearl, the gates of pearl and walls of jasper, and the beautiness, the golden sidewalks and the mansions that Jesus said he's gone to provide and to set forth for us. Could it be that what I'm hanging on to is going to stop me? I often thought about the children, the Israelites, when they left Egypt. What did God tell them to do? God told them, you know, take everything. Like, they spoiled the Egyptians. They took all their riches and their jewels. And what God meant them to do with what they took was to provide money and sustenance and be able to help them to survive. But many of them took the things that they took from Egypt, and they used them for the wrong purpose. And that even goes to the time when Moses went up into the mountain and he was going to come down with the Ten Commandments. And what the people do? He took too long. And so they made a molten calf to cough their jewels and their gold. And they made this calf. They weren't supposed to make a calf out of it. They were supposed to use it for merchandise and to be able to have money. They were stuck in Egypt. They were poor. They were beggars. Now they left rich, but they didn't do what they were supposed to. They wanted to hang on to it, do what they wanted to do. People might say in this scriptural text that I shared with you, you know, wait a minute, pastor, preacher, listen, the man in our scriptural text, he was hanging on to his possessions. That's what he was, and it might even have been his money. This doesn't describe me. I'm not rich. I don't have a lot of possessions or money that I'm hanging on to. And you know what? That might be true. among us, there might be those that don't have a lot of money, a lot of possessions. But today, under the inspiration, I believe in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, it's I who appeals to you. It's I who is asking for you to do is to do some serious soul searching in order for you to make sure of your election and your calling in God. How? By making sure that you not, that you are not, that you have not been, and you will not be found hanging on to anything that has a potential of one day costing you your chance of spending your eternity with God. What are you talking about? Listen, preacher, I'm not letting go of that. In fact, you know, I refuse to believe that what it is that I'm hanging on to, what it is I keep and I continue to hang on to, is going to be what keeps me out of heaven. I don't believe that. I don't think that I need to let that go or I need to just drop it. See, I believe in the light of a soul's personal declaration, as just stated in the book of John, the 1 John 25, 15-16, where he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus called us out of the world. Jesus told us to separate ourselves unto him. He didn't say bring the world into the church. He didn't say allow that world to be in your home and not to get rid of it. He said, I want you to, as we talked about just last week, about denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following him. And even though it was a young man in the book of Matthew chapter 19 who the Bible says who had great possessions, I want you to know that what it is that John in his epistle is writing about goes a whole lot deeper than just physical possessions or money. For it's people today, just as it was in Jesus' day, who for one reason or another, they who chose in their lives to hang on to and who have held on to things in their lives to the place where it literally is what ended up costing them their chance of one day being with Jesus in paradise. People today do the same thing. You can forget that you've gone far enough. Don't cross that line. Don't you? I refuse to let that go. Okay, maybe I brought or I kept some things of the traits of the world in my life, and I brought some things, and maybe I've even refused to let some of those things go that the Word of God speaks strongly against. Maybe the reason for this is because I'm not convicted against it, you know? I'm not convicted against them, etc. But before I go one step further in this message, let me say this, whether or not it's you who feels convicted or not, if the Word of God speaks against something, that's conviction enough. That should be enough to say, you know what? If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If Jesus doesn't like it, if Jesus turns his back on it, if he won't talk to me in my prayer because I haven't let something go, then it's got to go. Now, I'm quite aware this afternoon that many of you that are here today are, even have been in the church for a number of years, and I understand that many of us are they that are here today who probably have already been the ones to sacrifice in our lives things that we know that God would have requested that we get rid from our lives. However, what it is that I want to bring to you, church, today is the fact that over time we who have been in the church for any number of years can begin to be the ones to acquire and even to have acquired things that you know, that we know about, we now perceived as innocent, non-important. Things that you might possess, things that you in your life possibly have become and have always been involved with. Maybe you just never let it go. Things that you in your mind's perception, just like that young man in the book of Matthew who comes before Jesus, settling the fact, maybe as he did in his self-righteous state, he was ready to attain his place with Jesus for all eternity. Why would you be concerned about that? God's not going to be pointing at me for these things. But who, in his circumstance, instead he was rudely awoken to the fact that it was he who was hanging on to that which in his life was now being called to let it go. How exciting would it be for us to stand before God and go, yep, 38 years for me and 15 for some and 20 and 60. Yeah, walk out there and we stand before God And we got a big smile on our face, and he said, what's that? What do you mean, what's that? The Bible says that some men's sins go before them to judgment, all taken care of, other men's sins follow after them. What's that you're bringing with you? I didn't think that was immaterial. That didn't really have a lot to do with anybody or anything. Scripture verse. Another scripture, another verse. Maybe a whole chapter. Well, I hung on to it because I didn't think it was that big of a deal. You should have let it go. I believe upon each of our coming into the church, male or female, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that oftentimes we come in still carrying with us some baggage.
Yep.
You know, when I came into church, repented of my sins, got baptized in Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost, I was angelic. Just ask my wife. I never lost my temper. I never had a bad mood. No, I floated on a little cloud, and everything was good. The world had no beckoning to me 38 years ago. Oh, yes, it did. You let your guard down, who shows up? Hey, remember that? Hey, don't you miss that? And if you're not covered under the blood, you go, you know what, maybe I do miss that. Maybe that's something that I want. We come in with things of the world within our walking with God that we, maybe even you, refuse to let go of. I will not let that go. Are you kidding? You know, I explain away the reason why it's you who consoles yourself with the thought, well, one day, you know, someday I will get rid of it. I'll stop doing it. I'll cease from allowing whatever it is to be in my life, in my house. But I don't want you to know, beware, church, for the day may come when it's you who's called into account. You're still doing it. You're hanging on to whatever. The whatever might just be that which now costs you. Not just that moment, for all eternity. It might just cost you. I guess I should have let it go. I shouldn't have needed to bring it with me. The baggage. See, it's John who in the epistle of 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, as we read, says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. I've heard people say, but you don't understand, preacher. I don't look good without it. These were some of my favorite clothes. I never thought God would look down upon my being involved in that and doing that. I didn't think he'd be concerned walking through the house and seeing stuff in different rooms maybe I shouldn't have. I didn't think that was necessary. You know, over 38 years, as I've mentioned, of my life, living my life for God, when I and my wife, maybe while teaching a Bible study or as pastor, was counseling someone who was considering coming into the church, those who felt as though they had decided it was time for them to serve God. I stand before you today, church, to say that I couldn't count the number of times that those who I had met, taught Bible studies to, even baptized them in Jesus' name, who over time I had counseled on what it was that Christ was looking through his word, had called for them or would be calling for them to now just let it go. Like I said last Wednesday night, it was they who flat out refused to quit doing it, to quit participating in it. Many are they who said they would not stop doing the things that God in his word would not accept, as it was they who stated, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't believe God would really have a problem. He'd ask me to do that or stop to refrain from doing that. So I'm going to continue hanging on to that. What you feel you're asking me to let go of. I'm going to just keep hanging on to it. It's like a little suitcase. I'm going to carry it around. I'm not letting that go. You know what? I don't understand why I'm not growing in God. I don't understand why I can't touch God the way others do, and I don't feel that Spirit of God as you feel that. You know, what are you hanging on to? Well, see, in fact, I think that it's just a bit restrictive. It's restricting me. You're trying to stop me from doing what I want to do, even though it was the Word of God that was clearly illustrating for me the need to change my life's course. It's restrictive. But sadly, I say to you today, how many are they who had got up, chosen to go the other way, just like the young man in the book of Matthew 19. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a different church. I'm going to go to a church where I can do what I want. Yeah? You might do what you want, but that might not still be what God wants. I can go wherever I want to do. I can do it. Yep, I can hang on to that and keep doing it. This preacher has nothing to say to me. The book of Mark, chapter 8. The book of Mark, chapter 8. Verse 36 and 37. The Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In other words, in concerns to this temporal life on this earth, just what is it that's worth hanging on to? What is it that's worth your refusal to let go of, to cease from doing? What is it that is worth your missing out on eternity with God just for the purpose of you and your life, your natural life, hanging on to whatever it is that you believe is worth your exchanging your eternal soul for? What shall it profit a man? Get the whole world, but lose your soul. When you look back, I've looked back over several years, I can remember saying to my brother, this is funny. We're just coming into the church, he's teaching us a Bible study, and he starts naming these things I got to get out of my life, changing things, and I didn't even have the Holy Ghost. And you know what I told him? I'm not doing that. Yeah, God can forget it. He doesn't have to look. It's really not his business anyhow. And then, I just, this is brothers, okay, my earthly, natural brother. And he said, well, and he was tough on me. Well, then, if you don't want to do that, you can go to hell. I said, fine. We'll toast you little holy old Christians up there and raise my beer cup to you. He goes, you won't be toasting nobody. You'll be toasting. And it was over time that he would, in a very short time, he'd lay it on me, and you got to stop that. And I would just bow up, square back, and get an ugly face going. Doesn't take you too hard to do that. And just let him back. Give it right back at him. Yep. I don't think God would ask me to do that. I don't believe that's really necessary, Wayne. Yeah. But he said, God's trying to chart a different and a new direction in my life. Many church are those who started on this journey of their walking with Jesus Christ and are met with either a roadblock or what a request for them to let go of something from the world, or at least to detour their life's course away from carnal shores and from worldly ways. And these were they of whom I personally knew. I attended church with many. Even prior to becoming a pastor, I sat right next to them, and they talked in tongues just like me, and they did what I did, but then they came to this crossroad in their life, and at this crossroad, they just quit. Where are you going? What are you doing? This is the only way, truth, and life. What do you mean you're quit? They turned back to the world. They sought off, like I told you earlier, they went to another church. They figured they can get away with it, but you know what they missed? And this isn't me. It's God. I want you to know, church, it's God. I'm not patting this old man on the back. They didn't feel out there what they feel in here. They didn't feel the Holy Ghost. The Word of God didn't quicken them like it did here. Not because of this preacher, but because of the Spirit of God that's here. Yeah, they chose the broad way. The ways of the world, maybe like Demas of old, who says that Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. Last Wednesday night, I quoted where Jesus declares in John 15 and 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. The story is told how this person walks up to Jesus and says, Lord, how much do you love me? And it was Jesus, pardon me, who stretched forth his arms and he died. How much do you love me? I gave it all. See, our great God in heaven, I know, that he chose to empty heaven of its greatest gift when it was he, God, who chose to robe himself in flesh in order for God to redeem fallen man and to return. And this day I stand before you and I'm asking you, what is it in your life that you will choose to hang on to? What is it you in your life will refuse to let go of in the face of your being able to spend your eternity with him. What are you going to hang on to? I will not. I won't wear that. I won't do that. I won't stop that. I ain't getting rid of that. What are you going to hang on to? I want you to hear me today, you see, because unless you completely were completely blind, church, to the fact of the direction that the world is going in, unless it's you who has your head in the sand, the world in which we're living is on a collision course with destruction. And unless your life and all that represents you, pardon me, has been surrendered unto God, if whatever it is that you may be hanging on to, your secret sin, the thing that whatever it is that you do, you refuse to let go of, maybe nobody else knows about it, the message that's coming across this pulpit today is a declaration calling for you, every one of you, whoever you are, wherever you are in Christ, no matter you're new or not, if it is you who has been or maybe who is holding on to that which might stand in the way of you making heaven your home, now has come the time for you in your life to surrender your life at a cross and to let it go. See, over the years, I've heard people say, I don't care what the Bible says. I'll never forget what they did to me. Two things. I don't care. And you know what they did to me? I'll never forget how they treated me. And I hate them today, and I'll hate them tomorrow. But I stand before you calling for you to be the one to let it go. Let it go. Don't hang on to bitterness, anger. Don't hang on and hold others to the account for what they did in the past. The reason is because you might choose to hang on to whatever it might be. It might cost you your soul. It's not worth it. It's not worth hanging what you have, what you're doing. It's not worth it. Let it go. I want to be completely surrendered. What will happen if this world suddenly takes a turn and we're not rooted and grounded in Christ? I'm going to tell you, you're going to deny him. You'll take that mark because you don't lose your life. You'll pick up that word. You'll leave the church. You'll just do whatever because I refuse. Are you going to be like them? No. No, I'm not going to be like them. And so I'll hang on to it, and it'll get really tough, and maybe I'll starve a little bit like they did during the war times and the Old Testament times and even in the church times. And maybe you'll get persecuted, and they'll throw you into prison, and they'll beat you and try to get you to deny Christ. And if you're not rooted and grounded and surrendered, if you ain't dead, like we talked about before, in your flesh, that flesh will rise. That's why we got to just let it go. We got to quit hanging on to because you feel like you're justified in doing so. You know, God is a judge, and in the end, God will be the one to have the final word. I want you to know that today. In what others may have done to you and concerns to the worldly ways that you refuse to let go of, if you choose this day to grit your teeth and you feel like you have a right to hang on to whatever it is that you're doing or what you're hanging on to, one day and maybe soon, you'll wake up in eternity without God to regret it. But only this time it'll be too late. We have open times a lot of times in the church, and I feel this, church. I want to tell you, I was going to drop this message and go somewhere else, and you know what? I ain't getting spiritual on you, okay? I'm just going to tell you the truth. I walked in my office, and I thought, wow, that didn't go the way I hoped it went, and you know what? The way I'm going to go now, I don't think I'm going to preach that. And you know what? In my mind, yes, you are. Now that, no, I'll look somewhere else. I'll preach something else. I don't want to be a preacher of doom. It's not doom. What if he's coming back for his church and we're not ready? What if Jesus comes back and I'm hanging on to something that I refuse to let go of and it costs me my soul? Good master, what good thing shall I do? I can have eternal life. What a, hey, look at me. You know, I pay more tithe than anybody else here. You know what? I'm more faithful. I clean the bathrooms. I vacuum the floor. Yes, I do. I help in the fundraisers. Whatever we can do. Really? Well, what are you hanging on to? What are you? See, I'm not talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you. What are you hanging on to that you refuse to let go of? The book of Hebrews 12 and 14, it calls for us to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man should see the Lord. Not holiness according to the way that you want to see it, but holiness according to thus saith the Lord. That's Hebrews 12 and 14. Many years ago in this church, I might even have been in this building, maybe in the funeral home when we were there. I remember sharing a story with you. I was working in the paint industry. I think I was about 32 or 33 years old. And there was this young man came in. He was like 28 or 29. And he had the world by the tail. And he tells me how that he got this sizable inheritance. He made a lot of money. His dad had a company. And he sold it. And everybody in the family just got millions. And I'm going, wow, you got millions? Yeah, you got millions. And so what did he do? He went and he told me he was taking cruises from one corner of this world to the next. And he goes, one of the last cruises that he took, he realized he was the youngest guy on this cruise. And so while they're on this boat, and he sat around with what we would call the aged, can't say that too much anymore because I'm starting to hit there. But anyhow, he's sitting around with all these old people. And it was like one by one, you know what I'd do? I'd give you all my money. I'd give you everything I have. If I could just get your youth. If you would just be able to trade with me with what I know now, you take this crazy money. Because in about 5-10 years, maybe even less, I might be dead. I want your youth. You might say, well, all right. So what does this story have to do with what are you hanging on to? Thanks for asking. Simply this. Could you imagine being in the situation that the rich man was in the story of Lazarus and that rich man? And he only being able to look up to see for all eternity what it was that he lost. What he lost. Because in his life, maybe in your life, he chose to hang on to something. Maybe he had a little sin, things of the world, maybe bitterness, unforgiveness, a secret sin. And now it's you who's able to look up to see what you could have had. You ain't got scripture for that. Oh, yes, I do. And he said, well, let him do this. And well, he can't. Why? Because there's a gulf. He looked up and he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Let him just touch his finger and wet my tongue in this flame. There's my wife, or there's my husband, there's mom and dad. There's sister so-and-so, there's brother so-and-so, there's the pastor. I shouldn't have hung on to it. I should have let it go. I should have just stopped. I'd play in church and I was just fooling around and I didn't think it was a big deal. And now they're taking that place setting next to my wife, my husband. They're moving and somebody else's place setting is going there. Yeah. I just wouldn't let it go. Lamenting over the fact that hanging on to what you had, and now you can forever regret it. If I could only go back in my life to that place when God had convicted me, according to the Bible, and pastors preaching, well, he asked me to let it go and quit hanging on to what the Bible says would cost me eternally. If I would just let it go, I'd just stop. The songwriter writes the song, I guess I only fooled myself, or I thought I'd given all, when in a secret corner of my heart I hung on to there remained a kingdom that I did not let it go. I knew that God wanted me to do it, even though I didn't like what the Bible says in my heart, because I knew it was my flesh. I didn't want to, and you know what? I never did let it go. I chose to hang on to it, and now I'm going to pay the price for not letting it go. But what shall it profit me? I go to church, I pay my tithe, help clean the church and do everything and greet my brothers and sisters and they're called up yonder, and there I'm sitting trying to make myself rise, and God just steps aside of me, and I should have let it go. I knew I should have let it go. I should have stopped it. Seeing concerns to those new to this walk or considering this walk with Christ, what it is that you have to ask yourself is, what is it that you might be hanging on to in your heart that you know you should let go of? What is it that God, through the preaching of God's word, is it that in your heart you've been feeling God convicting you? Stop it. But in your life, you still refuse to let it go. Hanging on to the world, the things of the world, the things that you in your heart know that God would never approve of. And I'm asking all of you now this day, is what you are, maybe have been hanging on to in the end, is going to be worth it, losing out with God? You being in that place called hell, is it going to be worth it? Well, come on, Pastor, you know me. I mean, why would I be hanging on to something in my heart that God wouldn't want me to hang on to? Why? Because you are the flesh word. Mm-hmm. Human. We're flesh. I know you. That's how I know you. I'm going to head for a close today, church. The one thing that I do know in being flesh is that the devil, the deceiver, the liar, if he can, through his subtlety, he'll cause you, if you let him, to convince you of the many reasons as to why you should continue to hang on to what it is that has the ability to cost you everything. This is why you do it. I don't care what they say. That's just that, church. Find another one. But in the end, it's still going to have the same equation, conclusion. I might tell you today that I don't know why God placed this message thought upon my heart for this time. Maybe because it's a plea for some. Maybe it's because all of us need to do some heart and soul searching in order for us all to be ready in that day what God calls us home. And so in closing today, all I'm asking you to do is to ask yourself the question. Don't worry about them. I'm talking to you. What are you, what have you been hanging on to that stands in the way of you making the decision once and for all to live your life for Jesus the way you know you should, without you're secretly hanging on to, even blatantly hanging on to something? You look at people and you look right in their face and you go, they're doing it just for spite. They're just doing it because. They're just doing it because they don't care. But eternity, friend, is a long, long, long time. Very quickly. Take a steel ball, they say, and get a dove and let the dove just brush that steel ball going round and round and round. By the time that steel ball disappears, they say that eternity will have just begun. And an eternity with God is not worth the price nor the excuse in your life for why I hung on to it. Doesn't matter what it is, anything that would get in the way of me being the one to not hear the words, well done, but to hear the words, go away. Could you imagine? Pastor, you know what Paul said? I got to be careful that when I preach to others, I myself don't become a castaway. You guys need to straighten up, all of you. That's right, smarten up your act. And there in that little secret corner, preacher's hanging on something. But he's pastor, he gets away with everything, right? No. And so I have to stand before God just like you. But I got to give an account for you. Did you preach it like I told you to preach it? I could have tried to find something else. Listen, folks, one thing I learned over the years is when you get told don't and do what you're told, I do what I'm told when it concerns him. I don't care. You'll offend them. Somebody's going to show up. They might be new and they'll never come back. Well, maybe that was a message they needed to hear, and maybe this is God's last bid to pull them into the fold, to stop them from going to hell. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so what would it be like for me, pastor, 38 years, living for God, boy, shiny shoes and white shirt and tie, boy, oh boy, oh, nice, you know, hair and all combed and everything's like sweet, and God goes, many shall come to me in that day, say, Lord, Lord, have we not? He goes, in that day, I'm going to tell them, I never knew you. Depart from your work of iniquity. So what pastor's saying is, this message just isn't for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. To look in here and say, what is it? You know what? With these new technology, you'll never catch me in no movie theater. No way. I got Netflix on my phone and on my computer at home. I just watch it there. Nobody knows. Got all the rotten movies and everything else. Got Conan the Barbarian. Oh, yeah. Pastor don't know. The wife don't know. I just watch it by myself. That's for sure. I ain't doing none of that garbage. Now with Amazon, just order that little package and in comes the six-pack. What do you ought to be letting go of? And you sit at home and just have a couple drinks. Nobody knows. You didn't see me at the liquor store, did you? No way. You're hanging on to it. So I'm asking you earnestly, pardon me, to look inside your life, your soul, your personal, the personal you What I'm asking each of you to do today is to be transparent with God and with yourself.
You know.
You know. If you're hanging on to the world, along with the things of this world, if you today are refusing to let the world, the lust thereof, to go, if it's you today who's considering carrying your cross for Christ, then maybe you, my friend, need to come clean with the fact of whether or not you're hanging on to that which will cost you in the end. Would you stand with me today? So whether or not you're a seasoned saint of God or new to this life in Christ, my friend, even if it's you who has not made the decision to give your life to God, from the eldest to the youngest today, don't allow this message nor the content to fall upon deaf ears. You know why? Because one day you're going to give an account for it. How? And I'm not going to belabor the fact. Listen to this. How horrible would it be that you went and you stood before God? And I don't know, maybe he's got technology, and up in this screen up here is this message. And he doesn't say nothing, and you did, and you're looking up. You shut that off. Listen. Okay, so I didn't care. I'm young. I want to just live in the world. I'm this or that. I just want to do what I want. I want to look like the world. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want people to look at me because I don't wear that or don't do that.
All through life's journey.
And then when the media starts, and he looks at you in the eye and he goes like this.
To glory.
No, I hear screaming and crying to him. No. Then you should have let it go. You should not have hung on to it. You didn't listen. You blew it away.
Just to be.
I want you to know today this altar is open. There's room up here at this altar. God's waiting for you. Don't worry about the COVID. Keep your distance.
Look inside.
But some need to come to this altar. All of us should come to this altar. Women on one side, men on the other. If you don't want to come forward, you're too chicken, well then just maybe kneel where you are. Just
search
sit down. Close your eyes. Block everybody
else. Secret
God, look in here.
Today.
I don't care what they do. You know what? Save yourself, the Bible says, from this untoward generation.
The place
I'm gonna
save is set.
One day I will pay that
make
price.
Make them yours alone.
Yeah, you will. Nobody gets by.
Search me, Lord.
Quit hanging on to
wash
it, making excuses.
Me, Lord,
would you pray
today
with me today? Would you find a place to pray?
Look inside my heart, oh Lord, I pray. Search within the secret parts today. The places that I call my own, make them yours alone. Search me, Lord, wash me, Lord, today.